Here we go.
Yeah, going to have a nice vacation with Tara. Okay. Nice winter vacation. And enjoy your time with Tara. And remember that she's your best friend, so you don't need to fight with her. So you're going to have a 3-month vacation with Tara, and she's a very nice person to have to go on vacation with. She's very even-minded. She's not grumpy and grouchy. You know what you're getting from day to day. She doesn't vacillate mood, and you know that she's going to be very compassionate. So if something is wrong in your holiday, it's not coming from God. So we have to remember that it's our afflictions that are the source of suffering. Okay? And this, if all you get from the retreat is this understanding that the afflictions are the source of suffering, then your retreat has been wildly successful. Because our usual pattern is the source of suffering is outside, it's somebody else, it's something else, so I have to change the world. Or we blame ourselves for everything, that there's this big I who is inherently bad and unqualified and stupid and ridiculous, and that self is the cause of all suffering. Okay, so we're very into blaming, either outside or inside. But that doesn't really work, does it? Because trying to control the external world is a dead end. We can't do it. Even if we could, we would change our mind the next day of what we want the external world to be. Because our mind is not so stable. Okay. And blaming ourselves also is a dead end because we have the Buddha nature, we have the ability to become completely enlightened beings. And so torturing ourselves with a lot of self-blame also doesn't do anything productive. Yeah. So it's the afflictions which are mental factors in our mind that are not who we are, that are the source of the misery. Okay, so the afflictions, jealousy, conceit, attachment, anger, those kinds of things. And they're all rooted in ignorance, in the wrong view of how we exist and how phenomena around us exist. But we don't realize that we have a wrong view. We don't understand that we hold the wrong view to be reality. Like we were born with sunglasses on and think that everything from its side is dark because we've never seen it any other way. Yeah. And so this is where meditation comes in, and specifically analytical meditation, because we begin to analyze, can things really exist in the way they appear to me to exist? Yeah. Because things appear as if they're objective things out there with their own essence, you know, permanent, coming from their own side. But if they were, they had their own essence from their own side, then they would be independent of all other entities. And if things are independent, then they can't affect each other. Okay? So if everything had its own inherent entity, you know, if this was a bell from its own side, this is a drum from its own side, and I'm me from my own side, you know, this feeling that there's just solid concrete essences to everything, you know. If there were really such an essence that was just strong and independent there, then it couldn't change. And if things can't change, then there would be no way we could relate to each other and affect each other. Yeah. But when we look, we see that things are dependent on other factors. know, we as a human being are dependent on many other factors. It's not like there's just this big self that's always been there. But the body depends on, you know, the sperm and egg and all the food. The mind depends on the previous moments of mind. You know, both of them are influenced by the external environment. And how the environment affects us depends on us having organs, you know, sense organs and consciousnesses that perceive objects and so on. And so when we begin to look, we see that things really influence each other and affect each other. Yeah. And so if things are dependent on other factors like that, then there's no way they can have their own solid, independent essence. Because something can't be, it's not like, well, there's really this fixed me, but then these certain aspects around me change. Because you can't be both independent and dependent at the same time. You know, there's part of a real me, but then I change my mind and my body changes and blah, blah. But wait a minute, what's this solid me that we think is there that's separate from the body and mind? And can there be something about us that's independent and then the rest of us, you know, interacts with the world and changes and is dependent? It can't be like that. Okay? But we have to reflect on this, and through doing so then we get some understanding how our usual view is incorrect. Okay? So this view of how we first how things appear to us to exist, and then how we hold them to exist from our side. Okay? And then because we think everything is independent with its own essence, then, you know, there's a real me and there's these real things, and so you gotta fight with them. You know? Or either that, or grab at the ones you want and fight with the ones you don't want. Okay? And so that's kind of the story of our life, isn't it? What we're always doing. So, you know, in the retreat, we really start looking at our own mind and how our own mind works, how it operates, what kind of mental factors or mental states arise, and what conditions those, and what are their effects. Okay? And so often we're really out of touch with what's going on inside of ourselves, even though we live with ourselves all the time. Yeah. I mean, attachment comes, anger comes, depression comes, laziness comes, arrogance comes. All these things, you know, come and go and come and go. And we're so often so absorbed in the external world or so completely spaced out that we're not even aware of these different moods and mental factors that have come through our mind. And so, you know, they all have effects. And so if we aren't aware of these mental states, then it's going to be difficult to be aware of the effects that they have on us. Okay, when we're angry, what's the effect of being angry? How does it affect me? How does it affect the people around me? When my mind's filled with clinging attachment, you know, and I'm indulging in sense pleasure, how does my mind feel and how do I affect the people around me? Okay? And then what makes these mental states arise? Where did they come from anyway? Yeah? Did we catch them from somebody else? You made me mad, so I caught anger from you like a virus? No. So the whole you know, thing of doing retreat is really to observe what's going on in our mind and come to understand it better, and then in that process to discriminate what are helpful mental states that when they come in our mind really, you know, produce happiness in the long term, and what are destructive mental states that produce misery in the long term. And then the next thing, after we're able to discriminate these, is, well, how do I cultivate the ones that are conducive to happiness? How do I counteract the ones that are conducive to misery? Okay? So this is the kind of inner work that we're going to be doing on the retreat. So the structure of the retreat has to do with the Tara Sadhana, okay, which is training us in positive attitudes and teaching us how to think properly. But in the process of doing that, you know, all of our usual habitual ways of thinking and feeling just come in and interfere like mad. And so we get to see them very clearly. But it's very important to remember that they are not us. Okay, so maybe you should have a little sticker on your table that says, "This is not me." Okay? This is a thought passing through the mind, it's not me. So whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, it's just a thought. It's not who we are. Okay, so no reason to get puffed up about something and no reason to get down about something. You watch these things and then you learn the antidotes from the Lama, the stages of the path, on how to counteract the harmful mental factors, and then how you learn the various meditations so that you can increase the helpful and virtuous mental factors. Okay, so that's basically what we're going to be doing in the retreat. And Tara's there to help us. Now, for Tara to help us, it means we need to tune into Tara. If we're obsessing about ourselves all the time, it's going to be very difficult to pay attention to Tara. Okay? I usually find in my retreats that my number one topic of meditation is myself, and every once in a while I get bored with it and I think about the Buddha. Okay, it should be the opposite, yeah, but it works. We don't often think clearly, so we spin around ourselves a lot. So it's just good. Watch it, observe it, remember it's not you. Yeah. Try and come back to the practice like I was talking about yesterday. Yeah. So you're not shoving anything down and refusing to look at it, but you're not indulging in it either. You're trying to guide and steer your mind in a helpful way. Okay. So why are we doing this whole practice? Is it because we have nothing else to do for the next 3 months? You know, we could be out skiing or sledding, yeah, or going to work and making a ton of money. Yeah, we could do all those other things. And we're giving up Christmas? My goodness. Yeah? No Christmas carols, no Christmas tree, no Christmas stockings, no Rose Parade on New Year's, no football games on New Year's. Oh boy, that's suffering. Okay? So, why are we giving these things up? Yeah, when we could be out, you know, enjoying ourselves and drinking and drugging and being with a bunch of people singing and dancing. And oh, you're ready to run down the hill now. That sounds so good. Yeah. Why are we doing retreat now? Because we've done all of that other stuff before, haven't we? And we've done it many, many times. And has it brought any kind of lasting happiness and satisfaction in our lives? Okay. How many years old are you? How many Christmases and New Year's have you had? Every year you have a chance to do it bigger and better and be happier? Yeah? Does it work? It doesn't, does it? You know? Sometimes you have a good time, sometimes you don't. But anyway, it's over. And then we're back, still struggling for pleasure, struggling for happiness. So the reason we're doing retreat is because we see that looking on the outside for all these things is not a viable way to find peace and happiness. And in fact, by running around like that, we often have more unhappiness or inflict unhappiness on others. Okay? So we're doing the retreat because we want to be happy. Now, don't expect to be happy immediately right away. Yeah. Just create the causes of happiness and know that the happiness will come. Because if we're sitting here waiting, you know, because we say, oh, I'm doing the retreat to be happy. Well, what kind of happiness are you going to get from doing retreat? So you think, well, I'll have a vision of Tara and my kundalini will come up, you know, and I'll go out in outer space, blissful. You know? And so you come into the retreat with those kind of expectations. Yeah? And you're waiting for it to happen. And it doesn't happen. And what happens instead? You get mad. You get disappointed. You know? I gave good Donna to have this blissful, far-out experience. And all I see is anger. Okay? And it's your fault that I'm angry because the food's like this and the facilities are like this and blah, blah. Okay? So we have to just be content to create the causes of happiness. And as we create contentment in our mind, we'll realize that happiness is different than we thought it was. That we used to think happiness was this surge of far out sizzle, you know, that just makes you incredibly zingy and giddy. And you find that that actually isn't a sustainable emotion that is comfortable for a long periods of time. Yeah? And you begin to see that having a peaceful mind is much better. Yeah. Having contentment in the mind is much better. You may not have the big highs, but you don't have the big lows. And there's some sense of satisfaction and some sense of meaning and purpose in your life. Okay? And so we try and cultivate that kind of contentment, some sort of serenity, some sort of inner peace. But without grasping at it, like we grasp at everything else. Mine. Okay? So instead of my whoop-de-doo, you know, experience from whatever we're used to getting experiences from, then, you know, wanting some other whoop-de-doo experience. Yeah? You have to give that up. You know, this grasping at my, you know, I want, and really change the mind to, I'm creating the causes of happiness for the benefit of myself and others. Yeah? And if you have that kind of motivation, that can bring a certain kind of inner peace and inner satisfaction because you're doing something meaningful and useful with your life. Yeah, and I think that sense of purpose in our life is, and living according to that purpose and meaning and spiritually developing ourselves in the long term is much more satisfactory than these kind of zingy things. Yeah, that we get from getting the new job or having our name on the front page of the paper or whatever it is. Okay. So we're changing what our aims are, you know. And instead of looking for my happiness now, we're beginning to look for peace and contentment. Now, if it comes, great, but especially in the future, because we know it's going to take a great accumulation of causes to bring about that peace and contentment. And we're trying to develop that peace and contentment of liberation, not only for our own selves, but so that we can benefit all beings. So we're also practicing the bodhisattva actions to develop our ability to be a benefit to others and to deepen our wisdom so that our wisdom is strong enough to obliterate all, not only all the afflictions in their seeds, but also the subtle stains on the mind. Okay? And we're doing that because we see in the long term, for our own benefit and others' benefit, this is the most purposeful thing to do. Now somebody may say, well, why for others' benefit? Why can't I just work for myself alone? Yeah. I mean, liberation is hard enough. Why should I strive for enlightenment? That's even harder. Well, if we look around and see that everything we have, everything we use, every talent or little piece of knowledge we have is all due to the kindness of others, people who taught us, people who raised us, people who educated us and cared for us when we were little. You know, even the food we ate today came from other people. And so with an awareness that we have been the recipient of a tremendous amount of kindness from others, not just in this life, but in previous lives, and we will continue to receive great kindness from others, with this kind of awareness, then to think about our own liberation, and just that seems completely unconscionable. I mean, you can't even think about it. It's like, how could I even let that thought come in my mind? To work only for my own benefit when I've received so much kindness in my life. You know, it's just intolerable to even think like that. And so we see the best way to repay the kindness of others is to develop ourselves spiritually so that we'll have the abilities to manifest many bodies and understand others' karma and know, you know, the exact thing to say and do that will really help them progress along the path. And so we generate the bodhicitta motivation and approach our practice in that way. And if you have that bodhicitta motivation and hold on to that strongly, then all the ups and downs in retreat don't matter because you know where you're going and you know why you're going there. Yeah. Whereas if we approach retreat with, I want happiness, then as soon as you don't get what you want, you know, we're miserable. But if we have a long-term spiritual goal, then we know, boy, I'm just creating the causes. I'm going there. It's someplace meaningful. It's going to take a long time to get there, but I am so delighted to have the opportunity to go in the direction of Buddhahood. And so just that opportunity makes your mind very, very joyful. And then you also know that just showing up for every meditation session is getting you further along the path. But the purpose is not to have a whoop-de-doo session. The purpose is to create the cause of happiness. And just showing up and just working with your mind, no matter what is going on in your mind, is creating that cause for full enlightenment. Okay? So then your mind, you know, gets some inner strength to continue. You don't get whacked around by, you know, different upsetting thoughts and different things pulling you here and there. Yeah. Or if those kind of thoughts come up, you're able to identify them and explain to yourself why they are incorrect ways of thinking. And so center yourself on where you need to be. Okay? So this is our motivation and how we're approaching the practice. Okay? So 3 months vacation with Tara. Yeah? It's better than going with Prince Charming. I mean, Prince Charming has bad moods. Yeah? Doesn't he? Yeah? Hasn't your prince or princess charming? Don't they have bad moods? Yeah. And they bellyache. they complain, they're not very consistent. And they blame you for when they're unhappy. So why do you want to run down the hill and be with Prince or Princess Charming? When you have Tara, it doesn't make much sense. No, we always tell people at the beginning of retreat, some point during the retreat, you will be certain that before the next session comes, you're going to be down this hill. You don't know how you're getting there through the flesh and the snow, but it's like, I can't stand this one more session. I'm out of here. Okay, so everybody goes through that. Yeah. Nobody's run down the hill yet in one of our winter retreats. Okay? But everybody feels like, I'm going to be the first one. But so just know that that will happen. And when it does, just say, oh yeah, they told me it's going to happen, and let it go. Okay? Yeah. Either that or you have to run out and get Venerable Chantel's sled or his, what is your
snowboard.
Your snowboard. But then the problem is, after you get down the hill, you have to bring it up here. You can't leave it down on the hill. Okay. And so see each other, the people you're doing retreat with are the people who are supporting you, in doing your practice and who understand something very, very important about you and your own inner workings, Because often we think, these people on the outside, they love me so much. But, sometimes they're the people who are saying, why are you going on a retreat? What a ridiculous thing to do. Yeah? So, we need to see that our Dharma friends here are the people who really understand why we're going on retreat, why we want to do a practice. Okay? And so really respect that part of everybody who is here, because they understand you. Another thing you'll probably do during the retreat is you'll say, everybody else is having good meditation sessions. I'm the only one who isn't. Okay. That happens every retreat, doesn't it? Look, everybody else is sitting there so perfectly. It's only me. It's like this. And then it's like, oh, it's only me. They're all perfect meditators. I'm the only wiggly one. And then the way ego works is, well, she said to work for the benefit of sentient beings. So for the benefit of all these people in the meditation hall, I need to leave because I'm ruining their meditation. Okay? Your mind will do that. Okay? Really? These people are so serious. They've been so kind to me in so many lives. I am disturbing them. So my one act of kindness is to leave. Sorry. That doesn't work. Okay. Because nobody else is seeing you as the thing that is the source of all their problems. Okay. It's just our own mind that is setting ourselves apart from everybody else. Everybody else can meditate well, not me. They're all a group. I'm the one on the outside. Yeah. They all follow the rules. I'm the only one who's always late. We always do this thing of setting ourselves apart. Somehow we don't fit in. Or somehow we're special, one way or the other. Either we're better than them and we're special, or we just don't fit in because we're like, So one way or the other, we will, our mind will try and make some distance between us and everybody else. Yeah. When that happens, we have to come back and remember everybody's been kind. Yeah. Everybody's doing their best. We're all just karmic blips. There's no big me here. There's no solid selves in all these other people. And we're all trying to get out of cyclic existence and be of benefit to each other. So we come back to that. So I won't tell you all the other things that are going to happen during retreat, just a few to kind of, you know. I'm sure you'll bring them up and we'll talk about them and hopefully have some good laughs. Because we have to laugh at our mind. We really have.